Love Talk Radio.
Of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast, coming to you live from the Mad Dog Dynasty League headquarters in Miguanago, Wisconsin. Fat Guy with a Phone Productions proudly presents the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Come and enter the doghouse. I'm your commissioner, the host and commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League. Little rough here. Haven't done a podcast in a while, so I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. Hold on loosely here. I am the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League and the aforementioned fat guy with the phone himself, Rick Goreski. We're here tonight to kick off the 2017 off-season. I was about to raise the ratings and bring in a co-host, but it looks like I'm going solo tonight. So that's all right. Well, I guess maybe it's really not all right for those listening. But anyway, tonight I thought what we could do is show off my damn radio. What I thought we could do is talk about the upcoming 2017 Mad Dog Dynasty League off-season that is now upon us. A lot to talk about, including changes with the website. My fantasy league has made a lot of, I don't know if I should call it cosmetic changes, it's more than that, but as far as what an owner would see if they log in, I think the cosmetic changes would be apparent. They say they've made several kind of improvements, but right now, as with any major upgrade, it doesn't necessarily feel like an improvement. Kind of mixed reviews, I guess I would say, at this point, as to whether or not it's good or bad. I personally kind of hate the fact that when you log into the website right now, there's a large gap on the left and right side of the screen, kind of open, just open space, total waste of space. And I know why they do this crap. I've seen it at work. They go in there and they redo these sites and they go to a more modern technology so that things are, they appear a little better on mobile devices, electronic devices. It's all the rage. I'm a cranky old man, but I still use my regular old-fashioned desktop and prefer that for all of my fantasy football stuff. But some people just, you know, especially the millennials, they just love going on their phone nonstop. So that's the way the world works, and I'll be damned if I can't stop it. I've been trying, but anyway, we still have the base information, and that's all we need, and this remote control, that's all I need. It's like Steve Martin. Anyway, Mad Dog has kicked off its 2017 off season, and we already had some trades, two trades to kick the year off. It was fantastic to see that go. Dream Team gave up a 2017 fifth-round pick, the ninth pick in the fifth round, for Adrian Peterson. Peterson has 1 year left on a contract for $11.50. Dream Team making that trade with my own team, Crazy 7. And another trade that kicked off the season, back-to-back, both trades voted on at the same time. My team again, Crazy 7, gives up Matthew Stafford. Stafford freshly signed to a 3-year deal thanks to the transition tag at $11.90 a year. Goes over to the Klingons around Uranus. That's Gar Nelson's team. For a 2017 second-round pick, that's the fourth pick in the second round. So a couple of draft pick trades for Crazy 7. I can tell you from my point of view that I wanted to, well, first of all, with Stafford, I traded for Aaron Rodgers last year, so I wasn't going to sign Matthew Stafford at, you know, $11, $12 a year when I have Aaron Rodgers. So I was looking to trade him and get some kind of compensation for him. And I did have talks with other guys in the league, but most guys didn't have the draft picks. And Gar had a pick that I felt was of equal value. Would have liked to have gotten a first for Stafford, a late first, but, you know, the market paid an early second, early to mid second, and I'll take that. And for Gar, it's a really good move because he has Tannehill, whose contract just came up this year, and I'm clicking right now as I talk to see what else he has. Gar also has, there's like too far down. He's got Joe Flacco, whose contract is up. He did draft Jared Goff last year. Brock Osweiler, I believe he, in my gut says he signed him at the free agent auction last year. Still got a year left on that deal at $350. Things aren't looking so good for Osweiler, and he's got Tannehill. So Matthew Stafford really vaults straight to the top of Klingon's lineup, and Stafford has been really steady. He's been a, kind of a top five-ish quarterback for several years running. So I just think it's a great move for Gar, second-round pick. From my standpoint, my own team on the draft picks, picking up an early second is a good thing because I really wanted to try to begin to rebuild my team. I've had a lot of good talent that has begun to age, lost Marshawn Lynch to retirement last year, and traded away Adrian Peterson this year, which we'll talk about in a second. Peterson is getting older, and Jamaal Charles coming off a second knee injury. He's likely going to hit the, unless somebody wants to trade for him or he signs with like the Patriots or the Packers, he'll probably hit free agency off my team. So I have been running out of kind of my veteran stud players, and I've got to rebuild that through the draft. So that was my thinking there, trying to cash Stafford in. By the way, Stafford was one of my original auction guys. He was my franchise quarterback that I got at the startup auction. And don't mean this to be a, pardon me, a crazy seven show here, but I did make part of the two first trades, so I thought I would go ahead and tell you about it. From the Adrian Peterson side, I'm sure that you can imagine I was, you know, I just was ready to get off the Peterson bus. I figured the Vikings were going to potentially cut him, and I was willing to take pretty much anything for him and a fifth-round pick, you know, a late fifth. If Peterson signs with a good team and plays like Adrian Peterson can, this will be an absolute steal for Dream Team. But already, as I, you know, do this on March 2nd, 2017, word is that the Vikings are going to cut him. If Peterson does go to a different team and doesn't catch on, just doesn't play well, if he's finished, he didn't look so good last year, I mean, that's a big contract to have a guy on. For my team, I really can't afford to do it. So I was happy to get something for Peterson and, frankly, to get a decent return on Matthew Stafford. Other moves that have happened, excuse me while I click into the league moves here, because there have been some signings and some cuts and things of that nature. The signings that have occurred already this year, crazies might as well just keep it going with my team, right? Crazy Seven, that's what you tuned in for, to sit and listen to me drone on. I'm just giving you the news here. Aaron Rodgers for my team signed to a three-year deal at $15.13 a year. Gurley was re-signed, $6.17 on a three-year deal. Cooper, Amari Cooper from Oakland, 3 years, $7.28. J.J. Watt, I had to franchise J.J. Watt to sign him. Already used up my free deal. 3 years, $6.23. Bobby Wagner, put the transition tag on Bobby Wagner, 3 years, $7.03 a year. Amazing on that. Rashad Jones, franchise tag, 1 year, right now 1 year contract at $4.99. I already franchised Jones once before, so this is the second time. And then Collins from the Giants, the defensive back, 3 years. Landon Collins, 3 years, $4.62. Marani Minitour has made some signings. They signed wide receiver Randall Cobb of the Packers to a three-year deal at $0.63 a year, quite a bargain. Tight end Cameron Brait from Tampa Bay, tight end, 3 years, $4.05 a year. Defensive lineman Jason Pierre-Paul of the Giants, a three-year deal at $4.82 a year. Frank Clark from Seattle, defensive lineman, 3 years, $3.23 a year. Brian loves those defensive linemen. Linebacker Levante David, 3 years, $6.53 a year. Klingons around Uranus also made several signings. Kling went ahead and signed wide receiver Tyler Gabriel from Atlanta, 3 years, $0.55 a year. He also signed place kicker Stephen Hoshka, who I find to be one of the most fascinating offseason stories right now, and we're going to talk about some offseason NFL news here. But Hoshka, it appears the Seahawks are ready to let Hoshka walk, and they signed Blair Walsh, the former Minnesota Vikings kicker, the guy who basically blew the game to the Seahawks a couple years ago. They signed him to be their kicker. I don't get that at all. I frankly think that's a huge mistake. And how many times have we seen NFL teams take reliable kickers and just walk away from them, and it always bites them in the ass? So I don't know what they're thinking here, especially going with a guy whose confidence was shattered, frankly, almost like no kicker I've ever seen before this side of Brett Conway for the Packers. But another signing was a defensive lineman, Harrison, from the Giants, 2 years at $4.42 a year. By the way, Hoshka, Gar signed him to a two-year deal at $2.17 a year. That's with the franchise tag being invoked. Gar could still walk away from that deal, but that is currently how it's set up. Linebacker Nigel Bradham from Philadelphia, 2 years, $3.97. Linebacker Nick Perry from Green Bay, 2 years, $1.97. And Perry's a free agent, so he could end up somewhere else. Puslusny from Jacksonville gets the transition tag for the Klingons, 2 years, $6.23 a year. And last but not least, Jefferson, the defensive back from Arizona, 3 years, $4.62 a piece. Going to the other league news, clicking. As far as cuts that have happened, I got to only report what some guys have said what they'd like to do, but they haven't actually done it yet. I know the Marauding Minotaurs got out from underneath the contract that Ryan Matthews had, which was quite hefty. I think it was like $8 and change, $9, finally free of that. I know Brian has wished he didn't make that trade with Brian Frams to an extent. Just Matthews hasn't panned out for him. And Darren Sproles has also been cut. So both Philadelphia running backs from last year, the Minotaurs were able to purge themselves of that. Crazy Seven cut Dante Whitner, defensive back who played for Washington this past year. And I think that's Show Me Your TDs made some moves too, I believe. He dumped Chad Johnson of Arizona, Jonathan Stewart. He dumped, I'm looking at the wrong year. You know how ridiculous that is? I was reading you last year's cuts. Yeah, I knew he made some cuts. What he did, I apologize there. Show Me Your TDs cut Matt Forte, who had a pretty hefty contract, and he cut Michael Floyd from New England, which I find a little curious because what if he re-signs with New England? It would be nice to get him at a... But again, he would have had to pay him $5.24 a year, so I guess that does make sense. But maybe an RFR would have been good on that. But TDs has several players that need to be tagged or cut this year, so maybe he just doesn't have the RFR tag. He can't spare it this year. And Hughes, linebacker from Buffalo, who keeps toggling back and forth between defensive line and linebacker. So those are... Those are the kind of the moves that have happened right now. I know the offseason NFL news, if I could switch gears a little bit, and maybe that's of more interest to the average listener. I think some of the biggest stories are the Vikings parting ways with Adrian Peterson. I think I heard he had been with the team for 9 years, so there's still a possibility he could come back to the team, but there was no way they were going to pay him $18 million, especially with his play kind of falling. And even if he went back to Minnesota, the thing is their offensive line really stinks right now. They had a ton of injuries last year, but, you know, they need to improve that offensive line if they want to get anything out of him. Jamal Charles, another huge name that got cut. Jamal Charles will not be playing with the Chiefs next year. The Chiefs signed instead C.J. Spiller, So what does that mean for the Kansas City job? Does that mean that Spencer Ware gets the job? Is it a committee between Sharkhandrick West and Spencer Ware? How does C.J. Spiller fit in there? Does he resurrect his career with Andy Reid? And then there's the rumors that Jamal Charles could hypothetically end up in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I believe they just have Smallwood. Boom, boom, boom. Smallwood over in Philadelphia. Jamal Charles, Doug Peterson, of course, the coach of the Eagles, taking over from Andy Reid. And the Chiefs, well, I should say he came from Andy Reid and the Chiefs in that system. Maybe Jamal Charles finds his way to Philadelphia, and if Jamal is healthy, that's one hell of a running back if he's healthy to have. He's the Chiefs' all-time leading rusher. I'm trying to think of other names that have. I know the Giants released Rashad Jennings, which would seemingly put Paul Perkins from the Giants into the driver's seat for that running back job. But the Giants have also been connected to Adrian Peterson. Trying to think of what other cuts come to mind. I do know Vince Young's coming back, and he trademarked something, Make Vince Young Great Again. I thought that was fantastic. That was funny. But, you know, good for him. I hope he does come back and make it. I always thought he was a better passer than Michael Vick coming out of college, and, you know, you never know, especially with quarterbacks. Sometimes it takes a little time to mature, and sometimes these guys that came out as heralded rookies get a few years to kind of sit back and, frankly, be regular guys. And things click a little bit better. So don't know, you know, he's probably long past his prime, but could he turn into a solid backup for a team? Yeah, he probably could. He certainly can do a hell of a lot worse. But while we're talking, I'm going to go ahead and click over to the ESPN website and just see what the football news is right now. Says here the Jets are planning to release Brandon Marshall. Yeah, and the sun is, daytime is light. Kaepernick is opting out of his contract. That's ridiculous because I don't know who the hell's going to sign him. I don't know where he thinks he's going to make any kind of money close to what he had locked up. But I have strong opinions about Kaepernick, and I wouldn't mind seeing him just not be on a team at all. I just don't like, you know, you can make your statement and protest without disrespecting your country, and that's my own feelings on it, but I just happy to see him go, and I hope he takes his unpatriotic act with him. And looking to see if there's anything else here going on. Pagano was, that's kind of fascinating, the news that happened in Indianapolis where they fired the GM. So the GM and the coach both get the dreaded vote of confidence. And well, geez, like a month into the, 2 weeks, a month into the offseason, the GM gets the whack. He gets the axe. And they keep the coach. And the fascinating thing about it was that, I guess, Pagano and the GM that they fired, whose name I just kind of forget, I guess they didn't get along at all. And it was something that was affecting the entire organization. Ryan Grigson was his name, the general manager. And I guess Grigson and Pagano, the relationship had deteriorated to the point that they actually brought in a psychiatrist. They brought in a shrink to talk to these two guys to try to work out and get them ways to work together. I mean, holy crap. Could you imagine at your work if you didn't get along with your coworker to the point that your boss was bringing in a shrink to try to, like, coach you guys through it and try to get you to work together? In the end, they decided that Grigson was more to blame than Pagano. I think they should have cleaned the house last year. I think these are just awful decisions on behalf of the Colts, and they're wasting Andrew Luck, prime-time quarterback. It's just stunning. If they were to get some offensive linemen there in Indianapolis and run the ball a little bit, take a little bit of pressure off of him, they've got some fantastic wide receivers in T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. And then you got Dorsett, that's his name, the guy that they drafted. That was ridiculous. That was when Grigson had already taken wide receivers, you know, once or twice in the past 3 years, and then he takes another wide receiver in the first round instead of an offensive lineman. And now their offensive line is still a sieve. Another criticism I have of Indianapolis is, when the hell's the last time that they had a running back? You know, Frank Gore is a respectable running back. He is. But even Frank Gore can barely crack 1,000 yards with this team. And Indianapolis has just repeatedly had horrible running games. And you got to go all the way back, you know, to Edgerrin James passing the torch to James Adai. And they've just been kind of dead since then. They got a little bit of heat from Ahmad Bradshaw when they signed him as a free agent. But really, ever since Pagano came over, who's supposed to be kind of a run-the-ball, defensive-minded coach, they haven't done crap on as far as the running game. And that is something that they really need to get corrected, because that team should be way better than it is, and they really should be winning that AFC South every single year right now. But thought I'd go ahead and throw my opinion out on that. We've got Alston Jeffrey has become a free agent. The Bears decided not to put the franchise tag on him, and frankly, I don't think that's such a bad choice. But then again, the reason I think that is because I don't think Alston Jeffrey is worth the franchise tag and the money that it would take to sign him. I think that he is talented but always injured. Word is they're also going to try to jettison Cutler this year. Cutler might even retire instead of trying to go play for somebody else. You know, that's fine. The league's not going to miss him. But, you know, as far as the Bears, what are you going to put, you know, so much money into a wide receiver, and you might end up with a rookie quarterback? Or, you know, if they trade for a quarterback, then it kind of makes you scratch your head as to why they didn't bring him back. And, like, let's say they trade for a Garoppolo or a Glennon from Tampa Bay. Well, then why don't they keep Jeffrey, find a way to come to a deal with him? And yeah, I still don't think he's worth it, but again, you're running an NFL franchise that has a head coach that has probably 1 year left, and if he can't turn that team at least into an 8-8 or better team, he's probably not going to have a job next year, and they're going to clean the house. So my point is, they really can't afford to wait. The GM could go too, likely will. So it's curious that they let Jeffrey go. If they had kept Jeffrey and then they go out and get a Romo or a Garoppolo or a Glennon, pardon me, and pair that together with the wide receivers, then, you know, they got something. Jordan Howard's a good young running back. They picked Kwiatkowski on defense last year at linebacker. He's kind of a budding young guy. But what are they going to do now? You know, so they get rid of Jeffrey. Kevin White can't stay healthy. He was incredibly talented coming out of college at wide receiver, but he hasn't shown anything since then. And I think it was Meredith, the wide receiver last year, that kind of showed some spark from him. I really don't think he's a number one, maybe at best a number two. Long story short, I think it's going to be a long season for Chicago, and I don't see how it gets better losing a player like Jeffrey. Who else can we rip on? Let's rip on Cleveland. Cleveland sucks. I just can't stand Cleveland. Couldn't happen to a nicer franchise. I don't know what they're doing by not franchising or tagging Terrell Pryor. That makes no sense to me, and it's a guy that wants to stay there. Maybe that's their thinking, that he wants to stay there, so why do we have to tag him? I just think it's a really curious decision. I did hear a rumor that Josh Gordon is has submitted his application for reinstatement to the NFL. So the Josh Gordon saga continues, and apparently Josh Gordon wants to play again. I had heard that Cleveland was kind of done with Josh Gordon, so I would look for them to either cut him or to try to trade him to another team. I don't think you'll ever see Josh Gordon as a Cleveland Brown again. What else can we throw out here to talk about? Again, I thought I had a co-host today, so forgive me for taking some longer pauses here. Pagano here, the headline, Chuck Pagano understands he has to win in 2017 to keep his job. What the hell is that? Does that not remind you of the whole Costanza thing when they confront him about sleeping with the cleaning lady on his desk? Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? So what, you had to go tell Pagano that he's supposed to win? Hey, Chucky, listen, we didn't really talk about this ever. You know, we didn't really put this in writing, but you do know that we want you to win, right? Oh, was I supposed to win? Should I have not lost? Should I not do that? Because over at my old team, we lost all the time. But I just, sometimes I see these headlines and it's like, what the hell? Who's writing this? I'm a records guy. I should be writing these headlines. And somebody could rip on me. That'd be fantastic. Well, at least I'd be making money. I guess that's probably what the guy that wrote that is saying to me. Hey, man, I'm making money. You're waking up and trudging your ass into work tomorrow to work in some file. Anyway, what else can we talk about here? Why don't we shift gears back to the Mad Dog Dynasty League, and why don't we talk about tags for the coming year, because I think it is really interesting. Again, it's the first team on the list, not because it's every team got labeled by the number that they joined the league. So my Crazy 7 team is first. As far as tags this year, lots of players that are up, but J.J. Watt gets the franchise tag. Rashad Jones, defensive back of Miami, gets the franchise tag. Bobby Wagner gets the transition tag. The franchise Crazy 7 still has a transition tag left to use right now. Going into next year, the franchise tag on Jones would go away and they would have a transition tag left, so that's two tags left for that franchise. Dream Team has to tag or cut Quam Short, the defensive lineman from Carolina, and they also have to franchise tag or cut linebacker Navarro Bowman. Now, Bowman was possibly the best free agent pickup, if not one of the top three best free agent pickups ever in league history. That goes back to our initial inaugural season, 2011. Matt Blankenberg picked Bowman up out of free agency, if I'm not mistaken. So it would cost $6.90 to franchise Bowman. I know Dream has shopped him in the past. Will he keep him? I would guess he will. But I'm sure if somebody made him an offer, he would give that some serious thought. So it's two players need to be tagged for Dream Team. And Dream Team has already used their franchise and transition tag. They franchised Ladarius Green last year on a curious 3-year deal. And the year before that, they franchised Demaryius Thomas, the wide receiver from Denver. So Dream has two players that they might have to tag, and they have two tags left to do it with. Next up is the Marauding Minotaurs, as I kind of pause and check where I'm at for time here. Marauding Minotaurs. What the hell? How many windows do I have open here? Minotaurs, here we go. Minotaurs have to make a decision on linebacker Craig Robertson of New Orleans, formerly Cleveland. He'll probably cut him because the tag dollar amounts are $6.23 on a transition tag and $6.79 on a franchise tag, and Robertson's not worth that. Interesting decision would be Eric Berry, though. Berry just signed to a huge deal by the Chiefs, and Brian has to tag or cut Eric Berry. The transition tag would cost $4.13, whereas the franchise tag would be $4.52. Brian has not used any of his tags. Next up is Scott Phillips' team, Show Me Your TDs. He has Russell Wilson up for a tag decision this year. Wilson's going to get a hefty raise, $9.98 if he transitions him, $13.60 if he slaps the franchise tag on him. A.J. Green is another tag or cut guy, so some serious, you know, and the thing is, too, I think, I could be wrong, but I think Sean Van Hemmert actually picked, I know he picked Wilson because I traded him the pick. God rest his soul. But A.J. Green from Cincinnati is another player that I think Sean had picked up for Scott for that franchise, as was Alston Jeffrey, who we talked about a little bit earlier. So several of the players that were left to this team that Scott Phillips inherited, several of those players coming up for tag or cut decisions. So you've got A.J. Green would be $8.85 on the transition tag, or it would be $10.75 to franchise him. And Alston Jeffrey, same thing, $8.85 or $10.75. So I can't imagine that he lets Green go, but I would think maybe Jeffrey gets to the market depending upon who he signs with. Other tag decisions, kicker Sturgis from Philadelphia, Linville Joseph of Miami, Minnesota, the defensive lineman, Luke Kuechly. You can damn bet he's going to get signed. $6.79 on the franchise or $6.23 on the transition. And defensive back T. T.J. Ward of Denver, 452 on the franchise, or 413 transition. Scott Phillips has used one tag thus far from last year. Delaney Walker, the tight end, was signed to a deal, so Scott has three tags to work with. And he has 7 different guys that he has to make a decision on. So Scott's got some tough decisions this year, and if you're looking for trades, you might want to knock on his door. Moving over to Lost in the Sauce, the league champion, 3 years running. One decision to make right now. First of all, he used his franchise tag last year on Antonio Brown. Tim Savore has to decide whether or not he wants to keep Casey from Tennessee, the defensive lineman. I don't remember if it was Jerome or I know it's J is the first initial. Casey from Tennessee, defensive lineman, tag or cut decision, 519 on a transition, 623 on a franchise. A lot of tags are kind of, are we into our 7th year or 11, 12? Yeah, we're about to enter our 7th season here. And I think the tag decisions are going to make, they're kind of going to really come out now, because everybody that signed a guy in the first auction could sign him for 3 years, and they got a free signing, which was 3 more years. That makes 6 years. So starting this year, all the startup auction guys that we picked up, the J.J. Watts, the Gronkowskis, guys like that, all their contracts are due. You know, you're going to have to tag them to keep them. So I think tags are going to become a very big deal in this league right now. That and then all the rookies that you picked in 2012, you got them for 2 years plus then a 3-year renew. That's 5 years. So all that stuff's going to start coming due. For Gar had has a tag decision on Ryan Tannehill, quarterback Miami, and then Justin Forsett, the running back. I don't know if Denver cut him yet, but he joined them late in the season. Gar also has a tag or cut decision on Antonio Gates. Gar did franchise Hoshka, which I mentioned earlier, and he transitioned Puslesny. So right now Gar has used 3 tags total, Hoshka, Puslesny, and then he had a tag last year on Reggie Nelson, the defensive back from Cincinnati. Stoneform Paleys are the next team, Steve Wellman's team. Steve has 2 tag or cut decisions to make. Trevathan, the linebacker from Chicago, and Burnett, the defensive back for Green Bay, both tag or cut decisions. Burnett would cost him 413 on the transition and 452 on the franchise. Trevathan, 623 on the transition tag, 679 on the franchise tag, and the Stoneform Paleys have all of their tags left, so they can do whatever they want to do. Downhill from here is next up. A lot of decisions for Bill Novak as he begins to rebuild his roster after several successful, frankly, from being the most successful team in the early on of the league's history. Now Bill last year fell on some rough times. Some of his players are getting a little older. Players like Laurinaitis, don't know if they have anything left in the tank, but Vinatieri is hanging in there, the kicker for Indianapolis. That's a tag or cut decision for Bill. Quinn, the defensive lineman for the Rams, tag or cut decision. Olivier Vernon from the Giants is a tag or cut decision. Lawrence Timmons, a linebacker from Pittsburgh, is a tag or cut decision. And Searcy, the defensive back from Tennessee, is a tag or cut decision. Now, on the dollar amounts for Vinatieri, if Bill wants to tag him, it'd be $1.80 on a transition tag or $2.50 on the franchise tag. For Quinn, who, go back 2 years ago, was one of the top defensive linemen in the league, but last year had a really rough season, lots of injuries. 519 on the transition, 623 on the franchise. Same thing for Olivier Vernon. Used to be with Miami, now he's with the New York Giants. It's 519 on the transition, 623 on the franchise. Tough decisions to make here for Bill. Looking over at, let's see here, Timmons. Oh, he's got a franchise. No, transition tag or franchise tag for Lawrence Timmons. No matter what tag he uses, he's got to give him a 10% raise, which would go to $7.26. Laurinaitis, he's going to dump him. He's, last I heard, a free agent, and and done. What I didn't know is that Laurinaitis, I think, is the son of Animal from the Road Warriors. So how cool is that? I knew that Animal had a brother, Johnny Laurinaitis, who used to be part of the Dynamic Dudes, if you ever watched wrestling back in the day. The NWA had Shane Douglas and John Laurinaitis. They were the Dynamic Dudes. And I'm trying to remember who used to come down to the ring with them as kind of a third wheel. But anyway, that turns out that Laurinaitis, who used to be with the Rams, I think it's James Laurinaitis, used to be with the Rams, and last year was with the New Orleans Saints. That's Animal from the Road Warriors. That's his son. And last but not least, Cersei from Tennessee, $4.52 if he wants to franchise him, $4.13 if he wishes to put the transition tag on him. This is a topic that I think we should talk about in future shows. I'd like to draw attention to the fact that when you look at the tiers, the financial tiers, there's a huge difference between linebackers and defensive backs, and defensive backs are progressively scoring more and more points in our league. Yet the top linebacker in the top tier, the tier 1 through 5 linebacker, is being paid $7.03 a pop, whereas the top DB is only $4.62. The franchise tag on a DB is only $4.52. The franchise tag on a linebacker is $6.79. So that's quite a difference. Even the second tier, the 6 to 10 tier, linebackers are $5.97. Defensive backs are $4. That's still almost $2. That's 3 cents shy of $2. And you go down to the third tier, 11 to 15, linebackers are $5.76. Defensive backs are $3.08. It's actually more than $2. It gets even the same way, 16 to 20, linebackers $4.98, defensive backs $2.59. You go down to the next one, 21 to 25, all across the board, it's like a $2 or more savings to use the defensive back over the linebacker. How cheap are the defensive backs? The defensive linemen are blowing them away in salary. The top defensive lineman, a top five defensive lineman, is going for $5.92, defensive backs $4.62. The 6 to 10 defensive lineman, $4.82. The defensive back is $4. On the tier 11 to 15, defensive lineman, $4.42. Defensive backs, $3.08. So this is across the board. The defensive backs are third in salary amongst defenders, but frankly, in many, many cases, you can really make some bank. You can score a lot of points with defensive backs right now with the rules that were adjusted several years ago. Why don't we delve into our last four teams, the Blue Division, no longer the weak sister here in our league. Last year they really flexed their muscles. Trons, Pap, Sixer, congratulations to Tim and Zach for getting into the title game and just a rough go of it against Tim Savore's unstoppable squad at this point. The three-peat champions lost in the sauce. Andy Wellman, Ipswich United is the first team that we're going to look at. Ipswich United has to franchise tag or cut Drew Brees. That's $14.64 if he wants to franchise him. Andy also has to make a decision. Andy Wellman has to make a decision on Dwayne Allen, the tight end from Indianapolis. That's a tag or cut. It'll cost $4.77 at the transition or $6.26 on the franchise. Fletcher Cox from Philadelphia, Alan Branch, the defensive lineman from Miami, and Fletcher Cox and Alan Branch are the two tag or cut decisions at defensive line, $5.19 on the transition or $6.23 on the franchise. And then there's a linebacker, Demario Davis, Cleveland. He's probably not going to re-sign this guy. He's not going to tag him, but if he wants to keep him, he's going to have to tag him. $6.23 on the transition, $6.79 on the franchise. No way he does that. Just not worth it. And D'Angelo Hall, franchise tag or cut for D'Angelo Hall. Ipswich has all of their tags available. They haven't used any of them, so they can do whatever they want. I would assume they'll keep Breeze. I don't know about the other players. I don't know what they'll do with those other players. Ipswich was a pretty aggressive mover and shaker last year in the draft, trading up, getting players. I think maybe he lets some of these young guys have a chance. A guy like Jalen Smith hopefully is healthy enough to take over, and he can let a guy like Demario Davis go by the wayside. D'Angelo Hall, too, maybe. Moving over to Tron's Pap Sixer, who I mentioned earlier. Tron hasn't used any of their tags at this point, and Tron has to make a franchise tag or cut decision on DeQuell Jackson of Indianapolis. It would cost $6.79 if he wants to keep him. Von Miller is a tag or cut decision, $6.23 on the transition or $6.79 on the franchise. And then he's got Jarius Jenkins of the New York Giants, a tag or cut decision, $4.13 on the transition or $4.52 on the franchise. So three tag or cut decisions for Tron's Pap Sixer this year. Not so bad. They've got all their tags available. The Malicious Minds have one single decision. That's Sheldon Richardson of the New York Jets. The defensive lineman, if Tom wants to keep him, he's got to put Tom Buckles. He's got to put the franchise tag on him. It would cost $6.23 to keep him. But, again, Tom has all of his tags available, so he certainly could do that. And last but not least, Brian Frams. You're in trouble, team. Has a lot of decisions to make. He's got to make a tag or cut decision on Tom Brady. He's got to make a tag or cut decision. By the way, Brady would cost him $10.89 on a transition tag or $13.60 on a franchise tag. So he's going to pay him a decent amount of money, but Brady's certainly proven that he's worth it. Rashad Jennings, who I mentioned, was cut by the Giants. That's a tag or cut decision. No way he keeps him. Because listen to this salary. He would have to pay Rashad Jennings $11.66 if he puts the transition tag on him. This guy doesn't even have a team. Or he would have to pay him $15.94 if he puts the franchise on him. I mean, come on. I'll bet my first-round pick that he dumps him. Now, unless he purposely keeps him because Brian takes the bet. Sims from Tampa Bay, the running back, same thing. Franchise, it's a tag or cut situation. No way he's paying him $11, $12 to $16. You're going to see that guy somehow in free agency, maybe with an RFR tag on him. You've got Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen of the Giants, same thing, $12 to $16 on a tag or cut. It's just not going to happen. Shane McClellan of New England, formerly the Bears, picked him. I know the Packers were hot for him back when that draft was going on. I don't see McClellan getting a tag. It would cost $6.23 on the transition or $6.79 on the franchise. Just don't see it happening. Same thing for Brian Arakpo. It would also cost the same amount of money to sign him. I just don't see the dollar amounts working out. And You're in Trouble doesn't have a ton of extra money to you know, spending a guy like that. Last but not least, Patrick Peterson of the Arizona Cardinals, tag or cut decision. Because the defensive back dollar amounts are so low, he might keep this guy. It would be $4.13 on the transition or $4.52 on the franchise. So that's the report on the tags that are out there this year as far as who has to make tough decisions or maybe would be somebody that guys should be looking over their rosters and deciding whether or not they want to make some trade offers for. At this point, we got about a minute left. Hopefully it wasn't too bad here. It's been a while since I've had any time to get on here and do a podcast, and I can't wait to get together with some of the guys, Steve Wellman, Tom Buckles, Tim Savore, whoever else can join us, Brian Cox. Really looking forward to hanging out with the guys and also talking about a lot of off-season things for the league. Next show we can talk a little bit about the upcoming rules meeting and any issues that might be in front of the league. But for now, why don't we start to wind it down, and coming to you from the tubes, I'm going to talk to you later, guys. Thanks for joining the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.